This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I agree with both of you guys. Like, you know, I'm game to game. Game to game is what it is with these guys. And they're capable of anything. They're capable of losing by 25, 30 points. They're also capable of beating anybody. They can beat the Cavs in a couple nights. They can beat the Celtics or the Thunder or get scraped by both of them. And that's probably something that's also a little frustrating, with this team is for the most part, it doesn't feel like people are sure of what they're going to get from this team. They'll be competitive sometimes. Other times they look like they've never even seen each other before. So that's, like I said, that's just frustrating. I do think, though, and I want to hear what you guys got to say about it, is they got these games at home. Traditionally, their overall record at home hasn't been great. It's like a little above 500. But what is the actual record with Doug Christie? I think it's kind of solid,
home?
Right? Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'd have to.
I think it's kind of solid. I was trying to look it up right now. But I want to say it's not significantly, but they're above 500 pretty comfortably, I think, at home. Okay. And they've kind of.
Their record with Doug is 21-15. That's their record, not their home record. That's their record with Doug. So we'd have to kind of pick it apart from there.
Yeah. They've kind of shown like, all right, we do play a little different. Malik Monk called for the energy.
Yep.
Responded to the energy.
And responded. Yep.
They responded as players to the fans' energy as well. So then it's not like the what was that, the 87 Celtics or something like that at home. But maybe that comes into play. You're in a 7-game homestand. Like, they do seem to play a little different at the Golden 1 Center. So got my eye on it. Got my eye on it.
Well, I hope you're right. The crowd showed up. They responded to the team. Hopefully both entities can continue to do that.
Damn, is this correct? They're 11-3 at home in the Christie era. Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I just pulled it up. And Ibram has it in the chat now too. 11-3 at the crib.
Yeah, I just did the math right now. They're 11-3 with Doug Christie at home.
I didn't think it was that good. Now you got Salute. Pelicans, Mavericks. No, I don't know. They didn't play the Mavericks.
11-3. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It's 11-3. We always knew, though, like the season, maybe not the season was going to come down to. We always knew this was going to be a big homestand. Mm-hmm. Whether the Kings are 11-3 under Doug Christie at home or 11-11 under Doug Christie at home. We always knew that this was going to be a massive homestand.
When we looked at it when the schedule got released.
Yeah, right.
Like Mike Brown was still the coach and we knew it.
11-3 is crazy, though. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
And that's extreme. That's very drastic. A drastic difference from what's been going on the last couple of years at the Golden One Center. So, you know, maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe Doug has tapped into them understanding the importance of not only winning home games, but, you know, going on the roof and talking about what it means to the city when you play here. And maybe they bought into that a little bit.
Those games that they won, a lot of those were at home, weren't they? Yeah. Like when Doug took over,
mm-hmm.
that stretch mm-hmm. was at home.
Yep. So, I mean, it's a tough stretch regardless, but you got them at home and you've played well at home as of late. Maybe playing well at home breeds confidence for playing at home. Like maybe it's not as daunting for these, you know, what we do at the crib. Like we come to play and, mm-hmm. you know, these guys, they feed off the crowd's energy. We started by talking about how to go to one center crowd is always locked in and, maybe they found a way to feed off of that.
Well, hopefully they continue to find a way to feed off it because you just mentioned this is a tough homestand. It likely got a lot tougher in the third quarter yesterday when Domantas Sabonis, his ankle touched the floor. Ugh. It's not supposed to, but it did. And we all saw it in slow motion repeatedly. He left the court in very, very obvious pain, and that was after he got headbutted in the first quarter and looked like one of Kenny's favorite boxers out there with blood trickling down the side of his face. So the Kings just experienced this. It was different. It was a hamstring issue for Domantas Sabonis, but they did play a good stretch of basketball without Domas. It is a different type of basketball as Valanciunas is kind of just used as a center, a more traditional center rather than the point center, the facilitator center. The Kings seem to adjust pretty well in that without Domantas Sabonis. So I don't have the same level of anxiety that we might have had prior to Jonas Valanciunas. Mm-hmm. I don't even have the same level of anxiety about the team's ability to maintain prior to Valanciunas starting a handful of games ago. Like, I think he brings a lot to the starting lineup. It's different. He brings enough different where you don't feel like he has to make up for what we're missing with Sabonis being out there. We saw guys, I know I've harped on this stat all day, but Stan Van Gundy, the team doesn't have a traditional point guard. They don't have a traditional point guard. They don't have, and I don't fault him. That was a talking point the other night when this team was on TNT. But I keep harping on DeMar DeRozan, 8 assists, Zach LaVine, 6 assists, Malik Monk, 7 assists. Normally you see Domantas Sabonis with a bunch of numbers in that category. Well, he wasn't available to do that last night, so you saw other guys do other things. Was the ball moving around? Were they running their offense differently, or were guys just hitting their shots? You're going to have to, as Doug Christie would say, you're going to have to be there for each other.
And just a little pushback. I don't want to be a contrarian or come off like a contrarian, but who does have a traditional point guard at this point? Like, traditional John Stockton. Like, who does? The Warriors, they got a traditional point guard? No.
No.
The Lakers? No.
No.
OKC?
Like, no.
No, like, the game ain't played like that no more. I think the biggest thing for they're all, like all these guys, all these point guards nowadays are scoring point guards. Mm-hmm. Like that's what they do. That's what Malik Monk is. Even when De'Aaron Fox was here, he wasn't like we talked about it a lot. He wasn't this table setter. Now he was another guy that could handle the ball, initiate the offense, get into the paint, do all this other stuff. But he wasn't out there just distributing left and right, you know? So the biggest thing for me is the turnovers. If they, as a group, can limit the turnovers and Malik Monk can limit those turnovers, I think it'll be fine.
Malik was mad about the three turnovers. I thought that was fine. Like you have the, I mean, you played 35 minutes last night. You had the ball in your hand that many times. You only turned the ball over three times. Hey, I appreciate the facts that he thinks it's too much, but I, at no point did I go, man, Malik really got, he got a little loose with the ball last night, bro. I never, it's never thought
it wasn't like that. The game was, I can't remember, but he was turning over,
he had five.
It was just like, oh, come
and he told you about it. It's like, okay, five is a number. At three, like, yes, that's a starting point guard number. Like, team turned up. And it could also be that the team overall, it felt like they were pretty protective of the ball last night. I didn't feel like turnovers were an issue for them.
Yeah, it took care of the rock. So, you know, I was thinking about that too, because the Stan Van quote lives in my head as well. I was like, oh, all right, well, what does that even look like in 2025? You know, you see a lot of this stuff, offenses being ran through big guys. You know what I mean? Dribble handoff, all this other stuff. I know the idea of having Malik Monk be this guy that sets the table, an organizer. But
there it is.
But
who was up? We need Fred Van Fleet.
Yeah, who got ejected last
That's
night.
That's who we need.
You see that? He got ejected.
I didn't see him get thrown out.
For a hard foul on a breakaway after he thought he got fouled.
Oh, it was one of those.
Yeah.
So. It's a Diana Taurasi special. Oh, okay. All right. I got you.
That's what we're doing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you can cut down on the turnovers a little bit, and you combine that with Malik Monk just shooting the ball better.
You talking about Malik or the Kings? Cutting
both,
down on the
turnovers. But I was thinking Malik. But
okay, I got
for
you.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
On a consistent basis. Like to your point, last night wasn't bad. With the
I think it was 12 turnovers. But double check.
You combine that with him shooting the ball well, you can handle that. You'd be fine. You'd be absolutely fine if you were the Kings and Malik Monk is your point guard and you're getting the offensive production as far as him putting the ball in the basket combined with a better version of taking care of the basketball.
Four NBA games tonight, Jesse. Brooklyn at Boston. Jason Tatum out in that game versus Brooklyn. Right knee tendinopathy?
Yeah, there's nothing. He's been on the injury report, I guess, with that all year, but he doesn't really sit or anything like that. That's just something to get him to sit if they want him to, I guess.
Well, you know, getting on the airplanes and everything else like that, he might want to just switch playoffs. Like, get ready for the playoffs.
I think that game's in Boston. Hey, Chris is here.
I'm paying Pritchard to go for 25 today. Don't worry.
What's up, TK? We making money today? What are we doing?
I don't know. Well, I'm hopefully making money today. We'll see. We were trying to schedule. We scheduled a call right in the middle of you guys to try to move the heat check over from Odyssey to Octagon. So it's an hour long meeting of that. Hour and 10 minutes.
Still made time for us.
Oh, that's you know it. As long as I'm around. I'm going to do that. I don't love this angle, as you guys know. The angle is so important.
What's wrong with doing my phone?
I don't know. I'm going to do my phone. I'm going to go on my phone.
No, it's fine. Okay. All right. Well,
what do we want to do?
No, it's cool. We'll go to commercial. We'll come back and we'll just have TK and Jason on at the same time.
Here we go.
We've done it before. Everybody loved it. I know TK loved it, so we'll come back.
Can't wait to hear TK's thoughts on John Cena turning heel in his promo.
Oh, it's gonna be so great! So great, Stilo and Casey on ESPN 1320. All right, we are back here with Trista Crick, officially ready to get started. Jason Jones gonna join us here in just a few minutes. It's always fun when we get together. Trista's got a survivor pool, we're gonna put that out there on social media. Not going to retweet this article about workout clothes that she just put out there, but
come on now.
We'll put the survivor pool out there so everybody can get in on that. Trista's Survivor Madness. I'm all for this. The link is on Trista's page. It's now on ours as well. And the tournament gets underway here in just a couple hours. Actually, tournament gets underway here in a couple minutes, no?
Yeah, you have till Thursday. You have till Thursday to make your pick. So you basically, how it goes, if anybody hasn't done it, like NFL Survivor is probably more popular than March Madness Survivor. So every day of the tournament, you pick one team to win outright. No spread, no nothing. Just win the game, move on, survive in advance. But you can't take them again. So if you think Duke's going to win it all, don't take Duke until the final. Just you have to sort of strategically think about who you think can go all the way, who you think maybe is a good team to upset in the first round. Maybe you want to take a risk. I love Survivor. It's like one of my favorite things. I like it more than brackets.
I don't think I've ever done this before.
Yeah, I've never done this.
I've never done a bracket this way before.
Yeah, it's super fun. So you literally just choose a team and you can't take them again. So, like, I remember the first time I did it, it was 2019. Remember when Auburn got screwed over by Virginia? I had Auburn to win that game. And I ended up losing out on, I was in a USA Today pool. I think I ended up losing out on like $7,500 just based on that one call. And I was in the building in San Antonio. It's super fun. And like NFL Survivor is like week by week, but this is day by day. So you just choose one team per day. And then by the time you get to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, you have to choose two teams a day. But I think I'm going to do also a buy-in. If you get knocked out early back in the Sweet 16, we'll allow people to join back in as well. But it's super fun.
We on that. Yeah, I've never done this either. So I'm tapped in. I want to see what's going on.
It gets you really into the tournament. Like you're like, okay, that team's out now. I'm glad I didn't take them. You know, and then like teams start, you only have certain left. And so you're like, oh no, I've got six teams left that I can take. And there's, you know, so it's really interesting. Yeah. So
well, I can't wait to root against UConn.
Why? Oh,
root against UConn.
Dan Hurley's a jackass.
Let's bring Jason Jones into this. We got the quad box up. What's up, man?
And he got a jackass hat on today.
Yeah, bro. What are you doing with that hoodie, bro? What are we doing?
Man, you called me at 3 to wake me up to watch the game. What are you talking about? That's why I'm tired today. You were like, bro, the game starts. You know, our season's starting. You woke me up.
Our season. Will you stop it?
Okay, Lake Show. Okay. Yeah.
See, yeah, Trista may not know that we've got pictures of Kenny outside the team store in LA too.
Yeah.
I was walking down Universal City Walk. Wasn't just out, let me go visit. Da, 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 da. I was at Universal Studios, we're on City Walk. They got that stupid store down there, and that's all that was.
Stop. You know what I heard? I was hanging out in LA and decided to go by the store.
I wasn't even in LA. Was in Burbank.
I was in Southern California and stopped by one of my favorite stores.
Hey, are you hyped for the tournament? That's what we were just talking about. Trista's got a Survivor Madness pool jumping off. Are you into the NCAA tournament at all?
Not at all.
Not at all. Have you ever been?
I used to be, yeah, back when I was in college and a little bit after that. But now I don't know who plays for who. I don't really care. I'm hyped about the women's tournament, though. Cal was underseeded. You know, there's no reason my Golden Bears should be an 8 seed. They were good. I'm offended by that. But like the men's tournament, I don't care. Wow. I'm all about the women's tournament. All the stars I know are on the women's side.
I think both of them are going to be super fun because the women's side is like what we remember the men's side to be, which is like you have, you know, 6, 7, 8 teams that are dominant. And those are the teams that we're really watching out for. Probably not going to get a lot of Cinderella stories. And on the men's side, like, there's nobody I think is that good. Like, Florida's probably the best team in the country, I think. And because you end up with this momentum where you win your conference tournament, those teams a lot of times are gassed. And so they sometimes can get upset early. So both women's and men's tournament is going to be, I think, fun in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand the women's tournament, though.
I understand exactly what Jason, we were talking about it yesterday as far as I thought this year's men's college basketball season was a lot better than last year's. I had good teams, good games. I thought they did a good job, but they're 100% lacking outside of Cooper Flagg, the name power, the star power of women's college basketball. We were talking about women's college basketball and that potential Elite Eight. It's crazy. It's crazy. You're probably going another Juju versus Paige type game in the Elite Eight. And they've got the star power. There's no denying that. They've got the names. Those young ladies, they stay paid. We met Paige 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like we about to lose Cooper Flagg again. You know what I mean? Like that's the difference between the two. And I really do wish, and we'll see what happens with the NILs and stuff like that. But I do wish they would put some type of age limit or year requirement. If you decide to go to college, stay at least 2 years, because I think not only it helps the college game, but it helps the promotion for the NBA game as well.
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, I think if anything, the union would probably want to abolish the thing in the NBA. I mean, really, Cooper Flagg should be playing against pros. Well, I guess, are they pros in college because they get paid? I mean, I don't know, but I would rather see Cooper Flagg develop. I mean, especially coming off of the summer he had going against the, you know, and all that. I'd rather have seen him developing on an NBA team right now. Because, like, you know, even with the ankle injury, I mean, how long does Duke have to play for where it makes sense for him to come back?
The national title game. I think he'll be back earlier than that. I think he'll be back in the round of 32, they said.
Yeah, but would it be worth him playing, though? Is I think
I mean, what does he have to
mean? I don't think it's worth it at all.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, I love if he's a competitor and he wants to go out there and play, but if that was my kid, I'd be like, you know what, son? I hope you enjoyed your semester and a half at Duke. It's time to get paid. Like, I'm not, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't want to put him back out there, but I mean, I hope he does play. But yeah, it's just the men's game is just, it's hard for me to get attached to anything. Like, I mean, even with my school, like, you know, Stojakovic was so good, I'm afraid he's going to be gone. So it's like, you don't even get a tag. Like, man, he played so well in that tournament. Someone's going to offer him a bag. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like one thing to see a guy go pro. It's another to see him like, okay, he played so good, I'm going to go play for another school.
All right. So let me ask you guys this then. So the total value of a rookie contract for the number one overall pick is $57 million. Then if you're talking about somebody like Cooper Flagg, who's been slated as the number one overall pick pretty much all year, if you're him, do you think $50 million NIL is enough to keep you in college for 4 years?
No. Because not about the first contract. It's the second contract.
About the next contract.
You want to start the clock on that first contract so you can get to the second one as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Does everything have to be about money, though?
Yes.
I guess.
If he could stay for 3 years and make $50 million and he wanted to stay. Like,
I mean, if you want to, by all means,
that's what I'm saying. Like, if he wants to stay, I wouldn't be like, you're dumb for staying in college. You're making $50 million for two seasons at Duke. Like, man, stay to make 50 mil. Like, because I remember the story when he said, he wanted to come back, which he kind of backpedaled on, was like, oh, he'd be costing himself. Like,
they do that every time.
$100 million because the clock is getting started late. All right, man. Like he without doing anything, like he gonna make $20 million at Duke. He gonna make $50 million in his first NBA contract. Made $70 million in like 4 years.
But I mean, I just say, what are the odds of him really getting that much money in NIL to stay at Duke? Like, what are the odds that they're gonna raise that kind of money to keep him when they've got they'll have another guy coming next year who will be, a top five, whatever, elite level prospect. I just don't see any college winning a bidding war with the NBA.
That's the NIL though, because you combine NIL and endorsements. Wouldn't Caleb Williams make it like $10 million?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean,
they've had guys make money. I mean, 50 is, getting up to, 25 in a single season is pretty
crazy. Yeah, I always look at 10 as the cap. I find it hard to think somebody would make
he'll make. I think he'll make that, and then he'll still get endorsements. I mean, especially I think about this too. If it's been your dream to play in the NBA, you know, I don't see how a guy passes on his dream. I mean, this devil's advocate, what if you come back? Yeah, you get all the money. And then say, you know, you have an injury and then that derails things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not already be in the NBA and get that money?
Yeah, for sure. Understandably.
The flip side of that is Charlotte having the first pick in the draft.
You saw that one meme floating around. They were like, we're going to be ass next year, too. So trying to avoid us.
There is something I want to ask all you guys. I'll start with TK. One of the reasons, I know it's not good for the kids, and everybody's trying to make they want the kids to make as much money as possible. But I just wish the NBA would work together unofficially with the NCAA and have that as like a minor league system. And I use the example of the NFL and college football. It's perfect. In NFL, they don't have an official relationship, but NFL is smart enough to, we ain't putting no games on Saturday till they're done, because this is how we build our league. You see these guys for 2-3 years, you get familiar with them. We help promote them. We got the Senior Bowl, NFL draft, and they come into our league already brands and already named stars. I wish that's how the NBA used to be with the NCAA tournament and everything that's going on. Now, obviously, financially, it doesn't make a lot of sense for these guys, but I kind of wish that was the case, because I think it would help not only the NCAA, but it'd help the NBA getting these guys in here that people already know for 2-3 years. They're already familiar with.
Yeah, like if the NCAA played on Tuesdays and Thursdays and the NBA didn't play on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so
I mean, they don't even have to do that. Just have them in college so we know, like, just like we know Juju for 3 years, just like we know Paige and Juju. Like, that's going to be a major benefit for the WNBA that we're already familiar with these stars that they're bringing into their league.
Well, it's kind of like chicken and the egg, right? Because there's a much less WNBA teams than there are in the NBA, right? Less than half. So as kind of like a practicality reason, you can't really have women's players going one and done because there's just not enough roster spots for them. That's why Alexis Morris, she was balling for LSU 2 years ago. I don't know if you guys remember her. She played for Kim Mulkey and then ended up transferring to a bunch of teams and then came back to LSU, played for Kim Mulkey again. She balled in the tournament against Iowa. And she gets drafted, and all of a sudden she's gone. She gets cut pretty much right away, and she's playing in Iceland right now. So I don't think you can – that's the reason that Juju's not in the league right now is there's only so many slots, and everybody in the WNBA is pretty damn good, and it's going to be really hard to take their spots.
Yeah, and on top of that, you're talking about highlighting the guys in college. The first two picks last year in the NBA draft weren't in college.
Yep.
So it's like a lot of times you might be highlighting people that you might be highlighting the 10th guy on the bench. You know, because a lot of your good college players who stick around for a long time aren't going to, you know, I can't. Who was like the last junior or senior who was the first pick in the draft?
It's been a long time, but there's a stigma to that.
Monty would have taken him, though, that's for sure. Monty McNair would have been like, that's my guy right there, that 24-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that stigma is like, oh, you were in college for 3 years. What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Like, they talked about Zach Edey like he was just the worst thing ever because he was in college so long.
Right.
I mean, I just think that there's a whole different view on that now with the men, because it's like, if you're really good, why are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
But if they had to stay, then it wouldn't be an issue.
But what's the ultimate benefit of them staying for like all entities?
To grow the NCAA game, right, is to not – because essentially what I think is happening, and not everybody is as cynical as Jason, but I think that vibe is there for everyone, which is like, I'm not really into the tournament because I don't really know these guys. And so you're kind of killing a sport in terms of the watchability, the ratings. There's a reason that the women's ratings are outpacing the NCAA men's ratings and even some of the NBA ratings, is because you kind of get used to a player. You know what they do. There's that brand value. You have emotional investment in them. Yeah, you have emotional investment in it. And because the money is in the way, it is disrupting what would be a harmony in the NCAA, which would be 3 years in the game, even 4 years in the game. If you had everybody in college in the men's game play 4 years, the excitement around the NCAA would be much, much higher. And if you didn't allow them to transfer schools every damn year and stay till for 6 years, preventing 18-year-olds from coming into D1 programs. And, like, listen, you want to get your money, but, like, that also disrupts the game. So it's changing an ecosystem and, I think, destroying the college game as a whole from, like, a watchability standpoint.
You could also get more money for everybody. Like Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper, if they were there 4 years, Nike might say, let's sign you now as a freshman at Rutgers. And they're, you know, that's what they're doing with Paige.
Well, I was going to say, you can do that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they keep the door open, I think, because they're going to the NBA, and that's when they really start to do the shoe deal. Mm-hmm. Paige and Juju, they got their Nike deal now. Mm-hmm. And because Nike knows these guys.
They have 4 years of consistent dollars. The thing, that's what happened with Cooper Flagg in Under Armour, is everybody's like, oh, Under Armour crushed Nike. Da 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 da. That just shows how good Under Armour is. Cooper chose Under Armour to stay close to home versus Nike. It's like, no, Nike didn't even want to put their name in the hat. They barely even recruited him because they're like, okay, we'll let you have, you know, that 1 year of Under Armour money at the college level. We have to redo a deal anyway when you get to the NBA. We can't keep that 4 year deal. So they end up staying out of it because they think that we'll just give Cooper Flagg the bag in the NBA and we'll be able to outbid Under Armour. So it changes. If Cooper Flagg was in college for 4 years, he'd already be a Nike athlete.
Yeah. No, I think the other cynical part of me says the NCAA deserves this. The way they ripped these kids off for decades, mm-hmm. the way they punished kids, they punished schools selectively, the way they went after Jerry Tarkanian, but anything Coach K did was okay. You know, all that stuff. I have no sympathy if their little tournament is crumbling. I'm like, you guys exploited these young men for decades and did it because you could. So if the NBA won't help you, I don't care. You know, get your money, guys. I mean, is it fun for me to watch? Not particularly, but it's hard for me to have any sympathy for anything associated with the NCAA.
Oh yeah, I don't feel bad for them at all. I just miss my enjoyment of.
I do, yeah, I do too. I mean, growing up, you got to, you know, even if a guy stayed 2 years, like you felt like you knew who that guy was. Mm-hmm. Now a guy goes, you know, he goes to school for a year, he goes pro, and a lot of times you forget about him for the next 2 or 3 years. Like Ant Edwards went to Georgia for a year, and then it was like, okay, well, then he explodes like 2 or 3 years later. Whereas before, you would have saw that growth over the course of 2 or 3 college seasons. But like I said, when you throw in the international thing, it's like you had to go on YouTube and find Luka. It wasn't like we could just go, you know, watch Luka on TV or the two guys. Yeah, I always forget their names. My homie calls one of them Ricochet from last year.
Alex Carr.
Carr and Ricochet. I can't remember my man's name.
Yeah, Ricochet.
I didn't say Ricochet, but you know, we didn't know who those, you know, there's just not that same connection when those guys get to the list. I think it felt like Wimby had it because Wimby had that, like, you know, build up. Mm-hmm. But we don't get a lot of that anymore. A lot of times the first pick in the draft, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, you know, you got to be like a hardcore hoop head to know who some of these guys are, whereas before we saw Larry Johnson win an NCAA championship and then go back. Mm-hmm. Christian Laettner was in school long enough for us to all hate him by the time he got drafted. Mm-hmm. You know, people hated Bobby Hurley. You know, these guys either had, you know, fan bases or people who hated him at that point. You know, mm-hmm. we knew who Ed O'Bannon was. You knew who Harold Miner was. You know, even you knew who Emeka Okafor was.
Right.
You know. Yeah, so now it's kind of like, you know, when I mentioned, you know, two players at Rutgers, my friends are like, who were they? I'm like, Ron Harper's kid. Oh, I know who Ron Harper is, but he's got a son. I'm like, yeah, his son's really good. But, you know, there's just not that same connection with the, you know, with these guys.
Just wait till Boozer's boys are playing Carmelo's boys. Everybody's going to be tuning in.
And Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, Gilbert Arenas, too.
Yeah,
where do we think these young men develop better as players, in college or with Charlotte and Washington and those NBA teams?
That's such a great question, because I think there's not a one size fits all for each player. What we know are that there are programs and franchises that develop players really well. And we know that there are places that don't. So if I'm Cooper Flagg and Charlotte wins the lottery, maybe I do think about going back or putting up some shenanigans and pulling in Eli Manning and like, I'm not working out for you. Remember, that's what Alex Starr did. It's like, I don't know why, but he was like, I'm not working out for Atlanta. Sorry. I'd rather play for the Wizards. Who knows why? But that happened. So we know that Charlotte doesn't develop players well. We know that historically the Wizards haven't developed players well. We know that Sacramento hasn't been great at developing players either. And then places like OKC, like you may be buried on the bench at OKC. But you go and like you're like Trey Mann and you go to Charlotte and now you're balling. You're like Cason Wallace, who we didn't know why that he was chosen, where he was chosen, middle of the lottery, end of the lottery, and now we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm saying, you know, sometimes it could just be, you know, for me, depends on who you pick for college. Like if I'm a guard, I'm going to go and I'm like high level. I'm going to go find John Calipari and be like, please let me play for you for a year, because Calipari prepares his guards to go be pros. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you know, when it comes to the college part, depends on where you're going. Some college
coaches, except for Nick Smith.
No, oh, I don't know who that is. So
he was like Nick Smith was the Kentucky kid, and no, it wasn't him. It was somebody else that was a guard that played for Calipari, and he just sat at the end of the bench. But yeah, overwhelmingly, Kentucky's put out pros, or Calipari's put out pros at all positions, even center with Anthony Davis and Cat.
Yeah. When you get to the pros, it's the crapshoot. I mean, like if you're in the lottery this year, you're like, come on, San Antonio, tumble to get into the top three, you know. I want to end up in San Antonio. Like, do you want to end up, say, in Philly? You know, what's going on there? But who knows? Maybe you're the player who changes all that. Maybe all of a sudden you go there and then they say, let's fire this coach and get someone in, and that job becomes way more attractive. But yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. And the thing is, if you're good, you're going to a bad situation. You know, Boston's not going to be in the top three this year. Yeah. Oklahoma City's not, you know, I don't know how many picks OKC has. They might have a lottery
90.
Pick. Yeah. They might have a lottery pick every year for the next, you know, 30 years, you know. So I still think you're better off being a pro in the big picture, though, where it's your job. There is no facade of you have to go into class. So, I mean, like, this is your job. You know, I think you're still better off, but. Oh man, you know, if you got to go like to a DC or a Charlotte, you might be like, I don't want to go. But guess what? If I'm Charlotte, I'm drafting you anyway. I don't care, Mike. I don't care if you want to be or not, Cooper. You're going to be a Hornet.
I think the pros would hands down be a better option if they use the G League a little better, and the stigma of like we talk about. Devin Carter, now he's not a young guy, he's an older guy, but he probably should have never came up to the big club this year. Like, he wasn't ready at all. He should have been in the G League, but if you put your lottery pick in the G League, now you're making him look bad, you're looking bad. Like, man, put him down there for the whole year or half the year and let him play 25 games to get better. But there's a stigma to that, and I wish if they used it more like baseball a little bit. Maybe they don't have to be down there for 5 years like in baseball, but if they no, it's okay for them to be in the minors. Like, they're working on some things and getting better. I think it would help everybody else out, but I don't know if it's ever going to be like that.
I don't think it'll ever be that way, because if you're a lottery pick, yeah, just check the stigma. Like, oh, you're a top 10 pick. Why are you playing down here in Stockton? You know, yeah, guys don't want
that. I think the GMs with big balls will do that, right? And, like, you see that there's a reason that when the Athletic or SI or some of these other mock drafting places put out their mock list, like, that's what's leading the dog. The tail is wagging the dog, right? These GMs are looking at that list, and if they're not certain themselves and they pick ninth, they're looking at these mock drafts and they're trying to find the safest draft pick for them to choose, regardless of whether they like that player or have a need for that type of player on their roster, because they're worried about getting clipped. So if they choose what everybody else was mocking at nine, and that player doesn't work out, it's like, well, look at all these other experts that got it wrong too. But it's the people like Sam Presti or R.C. Buford who are like, we don't care about, we're not even looking at these dumbass mock drafts. We're going to choose, you know, Jalen Williams, who nobody thought should go 13th. And we're going to move up one slot to make sure that we get him. Or we're going to send a player to the G League that's a lottery pick because we think that's the best place for them, because we don't have any roster spot for them in the rotation. So I think it just depends on whether these GMs feel like they have job security based on their history of good or bad decision-making in the past. If you continue to make bad decisions, you can't really be risky. You can't be avant-garde and try to go outside of the box. You know what I mean? Like, you got to choose whoever is in that range where you go. And that's why when you see GMs go avant-garde and they've made bad decisions, those guys are on the chopping block. Absolutely.
What? General managers on the chopping block? What? Hey, Devin played well last night.
He's playing better, but he needed that time.
He looks closer to an NBA player than he did when he first got here. He did not look like an NBA player when he got here.
But they knew that he was injured when they selected him. And that's even almost worse, in the sense that this is not a team that has time to integrate players into their roster throughout, like, 8 months later. You have to get a guy. That's why if you're a team, in my opinion, my GM hat says, if you're a team that's a playoff caliber team and you're building through the draft, like, you, that's when you get a 3-year or 4-year guy. And I don't know why Jaime Jaquez has regressed in his second year, probably because Miami's a dumpster fire in general. But, like, that's why Miami gets a Khalil Ware. That's why Miami gets a Jaime Jaquez, because they have aspirations of not starting from unmolded clay. We need guys that we can plug and play right now. And that's what I think Sacramento should have done in the draft, is get somebody like a Jared McCain, who was an absolute bucket, and we all knew he was a bucket, instead of a guy who they already knew was injured and was going to be out for many months and was going to need surgery.
Tristan, to your point, though, to your original point, where was Devin Carter on the mock drafts? He's like top five. So I'm with you. I agree. But to your original point, Monty McNair, well, you can't get mad at me if this don't work. Cause look, everybody got him at top five. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna go, I can't take no chances. I can't take no risk with this guy. I'm gonna take the guy that everybody says is the best perimeter defender in the thing. Like, I'm gonna play it safe. That's to your original point of,
yeah, he was. In the Ringer security. Board, he was top five. Yeah, in the Ringer board, he was top five.
Original point.
Yeah,
I'm not. I don't have the job security. I gotta do what I can to keep my job.
That's fair.
Wrong decision.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in best player available. I'm like, you're in the lottery because you're not good. The hell with need. You know, I think if you're picking in that later part of the round, you know, in the first round, you can say, you know what, let me get a guy who maybe can plug in and help us right away. But, you know, if you make the wrong, you know, choice, you're probably going to get fired anyway. So you might as well get the guy you want. If you're going to get fired with your guy instead of saying, well, you know what, everyone else thinks I should take this guy.
Yeah.
Go down swinging.
Go down swinging the way you want to go down swinging. Not like, oh, I was just following the pack and doing what everyone else said I should do because I was afraid to get fired, and I get fired anyway. Really quick, Reed Sheppard was number one on the Ringer big board for players at the draft.
I'm still a believer.
Wow. I am too. I am too. That's just, I was just looking at this and kind of fascinating looking back in terms of like where guys were and where they ended up in the draft. But
it's always fun to look back and go, oh, well, then look at the reason why guys didn't go to certain spots. I remember specifically with Kawhi Leonard, someone from the Kings telling me, well, he can't shoot. I'm like, but he can, I think he can rebound, he can defend, but he can't shoot. We don't need a guy who can't shoot. I'm like, you've got a team of selfish guys. He'll fit in. Nah, don't need him. So it's always fun to go back and listen to the reasoning, you know, why a guy got picked in the moment. And you're like, what the hell were you thinking? Like, and there's some guys you just say, we all saw it, but maybe like you bought into the hype or whatever, you know, oh my God, Thomas Robinson's at 5. We got to take him. He fell.
Oh, man.
That was bad. That was a bad one. That was a bad one. Could you imagine Damian Lillard as the point guard for the Sacramento Kings? 10 toes down.
He would have been traded so long ago.
Damian doesn't want to hear it. He's like, let's be real. He would have been gone.
There's no way. You know, all of this, the Kings could have drafted Clay and Steph. Them dudes would have been on 3 teams by now just trying to get their way out of Sacramento.
A lot of teams do that, though. They'll be like, well, you know, we got to take this guy for this reason or whatever. And then they look at you crazy like, well, we didn't know. Like, no, people knew. You just, you know, even a guy like DeJounte Murray falls because of whatever off the court issue. Everyone knew he was good. But it's almost like every team is saying, you know what? I'll let you be the team that takes him. And then when it works out, oh, because he went to San Antonio. Not because you were wrong. It's because he went to that team is why it worked out.
Yeah, like wasn't Sacramento like saying some of the same stuff that Nico Harrison was saying about Luka? That's the reason that the Kings didn't want to draft Luka. They're like, he drinks too much beer. He's a hookah smoker. He parties. We don't want him.
Someone didn't like his dad, maybe.
Yeah. I heard, you know, his dad likes to party. We think he'll party too. What else did I hear? We're already bad on defense. He can't play defense. He can't play with De'Aaron. Then De'Aaron's like, no, I would have loved to play with him. De'Aaron's like, I would have loved it. And that's always the funny thing, too, is when you have front offices who blame the players. And the players are like, but no one asked me. You know, I mean, I could probably spend an hour on how many players weren't in Sacramento because of DeMarcus. And DeMarcus is like, what? No one ever told me that. No one asked me.
I heard a rumor.
What do you mean he's not here because of me?
I heard a rumor right when the Kings drafted Keegan Murray that Davion Mitchell's camp said they would want to trade if Jaden Ivey went there. And I was like, wait, if that is the reason you didn't take Jaden Ivey, we got real conversations to have. I've been holding that one aside.
I didn't know Davion had a camp.
Yeah, dude, no.
This is all levels of no.
Yeah. That's why I say around the draft and free agency, you believe nothing. Yeah.
Davion, if your agent call me again, I'm cutting you. You might want to tell him.
Davion's camp weighed in and said, no way. He's like, we've got like 7 point guards. We don't need another one.
Real quick, we got to end the show before we let you go. Collectively, where do we stand on these two subjects? Were the pyramids built by humans?
Yes.
Yes.
Was Stonehenge built by humans?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Does Bigfoot exist?
No.
Maybe.
And finally, how did you feel about John Cena's heel promo yesterday?
Loved it.
Didn't see it.
Wow. Okay.
You said you guys made jokes about me being invisible for a quarter century. I said that is hilarious. Right. You guys made jokes about me being invisible.
I just want to point out there were lots of votes for human pyramid building. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I'm saying I don't know.
There have been theories that aliens built them, God built them, or perhaps the aliens and the humans teamed up.
To build them. You saw the renderings of people.
The renderings is crazy. The renderings of people building the pyramids.
I don't think it happened like this. I don't know if aliens did or not, but it definitely didn't happen like this with the humans.
Before we end the show, Chatty House, please sign up for my survivor pool. Like, if you heard my my imposter syndrome comment in the break, it's real. Please just support. I don't care if you like basketball or not. If you like me, you will make me look good by signing up. You too, James.
The links are on Trista's page and on our pages as well on Twitter. So we love you both. Thank you for being with us. As always, Jason Jones of the New York Times, The Athletic, Trista Crick of us. So we love you, TK. Wow. We love you, Jason. We appreciate you guys.
All right.
Trista of the world. That's what she is.
That sounds terrible.
It doesn't sound good. Yeah,
it sounds horrible. Right. It sounds like I'm just basically in a cardboard box.
Or Trista for everyone. That's not, that doesn't sound right, man. Like Trista's for
sounds
everyone.
Like I'm way outside. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see y'all tomorrow here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Alabama State.